So we're back.
We That's are. Right.
Ellen, we have more guests today.
That we do.
You want to introduce them?
First of all, I'm going to introduce you.
Oh, who am I?
You're Thomas DiPietro.
And you're the lovely Ellen Thurston.
And our engineer today
Darcy
is Jake Ebel.
Oh, no, Jake Ebel. Sorry, I got confused.
Right. And we have two guests with us come all the way from Ankrum
to our
Hudson studio.
They used to be Hudsonians, I believe.
We did.
Yeah. Well, let's give them their name. Give the listeners their names.
Jeff Musso.
Hello.
And Paul Ricciardi.
Hi.
Well known here in Hudson.
Yep.
And they are now the proprietors and the directors and the artistic directors and the treasurers of
and
the Ankrum.
And the custodians.
So you actually bought the old Ankrum Opera House.
We bought it. We own the Opera House. It's true.
Hook, line, and sinker. The whole feel.
And the gazebo and the yard and the parking field.
Is there a living space there? Or?
Yep.
Oh, so you live there, too?
Yep. So there's a garden apartment below, and that's where the actors live when they do their plays.
All of them together. Wow.
Communal. Yeah.
It's communal.
Wow.
And
there's some cool things happen there.
They're actors.
You know, I can't really say. But and then there's a loft space above the theater, and that's where the proprietors stay when they're proprieting.
You guys have been in theater for quite a while, right? As I recall, one of you teaches or has taught?
Paul is the teacher. Mm-hmm. And we both have been doing theater for quite a long time.
Yeah. But Jeff's a director and I'm an actor and I'm a solo performer. But I teach full time too in the city at Kingsborough Community College.
And you're going to be doing some teaching here.
Yeah.
Ankrum, I mean.
Yeah. I just taught a voice class, a Linklater voice class, and it was really, really cool. Because the Opera House has great acoustics. It's got this wainscoting that is hickory, which is apparently really good for sound. And so teaching voice for the stage in there is great. So we're going to do that.
And again, let's be clear, we're talking about the Ankrum Opera House, not Ellen's favorite Hudson Opera House.
Yes.
Well, I may change allegiances. Oh, who knows?
We think of ourselves as off Hudson.
Yeah. Or like off Warren.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Or like cool.
Remember, reminds me of a song. Give my regards to off Broadway.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Like the Hudson Opera House is like our big, big sister.
So is this your first season then?
We are going into our very first season. Yes, we bought it in September and then sort of took the winter to kind of figure out what we were going to do.
Did it need a lot of renovation?
Just not so much. I mean, there is still work underway in the loft space itself needed a bit of work, we thought, and then but the room is so great, and the actual hall, the mm-hmm. performance hall, is so
what
great.
Can it seat? How many can it seat?
It's flexible, and we want to keep it open. It's an open. It's like a. It's Hudson. I mean, it's Ankrum's. Now you got me doing it. It's Ankrum's old Grange Hall.
Uh-huh.
So it was built to be sort of a place for people to meet up and have meetings and recitals and lectures and pancake dinners and all those kinds of things. So it's this big open space.
You're going to bring back the pancake dinners?
I think we should. I love pancakes. And so, you know, we just have to find someone to cook them.
Yeah,
you
Ellen.
Know? So Ellen will cook them. Yeah. Yeah, if like, you know, the room is like, just so the listeners are clear, it's like, you know, it's like a really, I don't want to say folksy, but it's a really kind of, it feels like a country hall. You know, it could use some paint, but it's a beautiful room. It's got lots of light. It's got a little sort of raked stage, and it's got flexible seating. So we've got chairs, and we can configure it in any way we want. For the first couple of shows, we'll do more like proscenium style, and then for our show in Praise of Elephants in August, we're probably going to do like, you know, sort of galley style or something like that on the floor. So
this Saturday is your opening night?
Yeah, our opening
of your first
opening
event.
Opening day. Yes, a full day of activity.
Tell us about this first play.
Well, the first show.
Yeah, the first show.
Les Moutons, the sheep. It's by a Canadian dance performance company called Corpus, and I saw the piece performed, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago at a festival. It was a festival focusing on performances for family and young audiences. So this piece is what we think of as really as an all ages.
Oh, no nudity.
Well, I mean, a sheep.
I'm just saying because we were talking about Marina Abramović earlier.
Sheep gets shorn. I don't know. Does that count?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, that was wonderful. I saw it on.
Oh, you saw the clip,
internet.
Right? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So it's a great piece, and it really does. Yeah. I mean, this company does work with. They do work for, and just the same thing, like akin to what we're going to be doing. We want to do work that reaches across, sort of. Generation, you know, multi-generational mm-hmm. stuff, but we also will do stuff that's clearly, you know, for an adult audience. But this work, the piece that what interests me about doing work for young audiences is that making the stuff that really resonates for both young and old, or young and middle age, or young and young adult. So that.
So you mean me and Ellen, young and old?
Or young and.
You're the young one, Ellen. You're the young one, please.
Correct. Absolutely. So. You know, and kids and the adults sort of connect with it on different levels.
Mm-hmm. Jake.
And so, you know, it's it's you know, it's about sheep. It really is a play about a performance about sheep.
Yeah,
and,
why not?
And I think about how sheep spend their time, how a sheep spends their day in the events in a sheep's life.
Is it revealed what the sheep is thinking at all?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Do you know there's a book that just came out from Princeton Architectural Press, which is now based here, about a guy who lives with goats, right?
Yeah,
he puts on goat skin.
Someone just told me about this, that he lived among the goats. Yeah. He wrote a book about it. It's true.
Right.
But so between the shows, we have a show at 2 and a show at 5, and then between the two, we're also having a party. The show runs about an hour, and then people can stay on. The show's outside, by the way, so it's not in the theater. It's out in our yard. And the weather's going to be really good.
Yeah, because putting all those sheep in the theater
would be stinky. Mm. It would be stinky. And so Cowboy Jim and the Hay Rollers are going to play their local bluegrass band. And then we're going to have a live sheep that people can relate to. And
I saw that here. It's
refreshments?
Sun.
Refreshment. Yeah, I know.
No, that was it. We're trying to make sure that those are separate ideas.
Yeah. There's.
We could do lamb burger.
Sheep milk?
Yeah, live sheep, period. Refreshments, period.
This says, son of Herondale Rambo, Ancrum's legendary ovine, is going to make a special guest appearance.
Right. So Rambo, there's a story about this Rambo, which we didn't know about, but evidently last year, this guy Rambo broke
who's a sheep,
you know, broke sheep free from the pen at the Herondale farm and was on the loose.
The lamb.
For 10 days. And was roaming around all of Ancrum, and people were spotting it. And there was like a whole posse of people trying to capture the sheep. And I think there were some goats involved. I don't know. I'm not quite sure about that part. But I think...
The goats helped him break out?
Something.
No. What happened was Rambo got loose, and then like some other... Just as a sidebar, so living in Ancrum, one of the things that we've come to enjoy is that our supervisor, Art Basson, puts out, you know, emails... Yeah. I would say maybe 80% of the time, the community email is about an animal that has gotten lost or loose. So this is part of living there. So anyway, so Rambo got loose, but then he ended up picking up like two other creatures, like maybe, I don't know if they were llamas or another lamb. But
they were lost also?
He picked them up along the way, and they went with him. And then as a posse, and they were roaming around Ancrum.
Cool.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So did they pull off any jobs?
They didn't, but I think the way it ended up was that they all just kind of like, you know, after like this panic, like Rambo's gone and the neighbors' animals are gone, they all just kind of showed back up after like a day of panic. So Rambo's son is going to be a featured guest Saturday. Yeah.
So this is just the first of how long is this just the two shows and then they're gone?
And then they're gone. They head back to Canada.
And you're going to have something every weekend? Or what's the...
It's not every weekend. I mean, I think we have 6 different like events over the course of the summer. Some of them are single performances. Some have a little bit of a run. We're doing a storytelling piece in July the 16th that Paul is curating and directing. Maybe Paul, you want to talk
about
that?
It's on the 16th. We're doing something called Real People, Real Stories, Real People, and it's inspired by the Moth Radio Hour. And so we've been meeting with local
residents.
Radio. Mm-hmm. That's us. And so we're getting local residents to tell stories. And so that'll be happening on the 16th. And we're going to see how that goes, but we would like that to be a something that we do regularly, something that people come to know us for. And then Carol Lipnick's the weekend after that. On
we're
going to
hear shortly.
Yep, yep.
What's In Praise of Elephants for August? Is that that's a play?
That is a play. And there's some cool things about this performance, which is, this is a piece. So one of the things that we sort of decided as terms of our model for our work is that we're doing a mix of presenting and producing. So the corpus is a presentation. And we also weren't necessarily thinking we were doing an animal theme this summer, but it's there it is. The show we're producing is In Praise of Elephants, and so we're in the midst of finalizing a cast for that. I'll be directing. The play is a British play, so Paul's going to be working on the dialect as dialect coach. We're bringing in a design team. So that's something we're going to be, developing and creating.
That's going to be your big production.
That's sort of our big, it's running for like 3 weekends.
Yeah. Right.
What's interesting about it is that the piece is by a playwright named Kevin Dyer. He's, as I mentioned, British. And he wrote the play specifically to be performed like in a village hall, akin to what we have in Ankrum. And the idea was, it's for a company called Farnham Maltings, and it's located in Surrey, about an hour or so out of London. So it has sort of that same sort of kind of rural connection or to the bigger city. The idea with this company is that the artist and the audience all come in through the same door. And I really think that really hit home for us as we were conceiving of the opera house and the kind of aesthetic we want to have, where we are. And it's also sort of referencing Peter Brook, that theater, director, theatrician, about how it's a shared space and we're all in this, making this together. So the play really does draw on that idea of, like, we're in this room, we're sharing the room, we've all come in through the same door, we're making theater together. And, it kind of concerns this middle-aged guy kind of having to sort of because of circumstances, being sort of pushed to reinvent himself at a not a mature age, but at a, in a second half of his life kind of age. And it kind of comes as a surprise to himself to have to do that.
Well, he kind of realizes that sort of the world he thought he lived in is not the world. There's this huge paradigm shift that the life he thought he had wasn't really the life that he had.
I can relate to that, Ellen, can't you? No?
I don't know.
It's all an illusion, Ellen.
Yeah. So the mix, you're going to try to sort of stay with this mix of performance, dance, theater, and music.
Music, you're right. So then the last piece over Labor Day weekend is another cabaret artist. That's why I would sort of classify Carol as a cabaret mm-hmm. artist. This guy named Joseph Kackler, who's this younger, really very much an up-and-coming, really talented guy. Both Carol and Joseph are super talented.
Ellen's a huge cabaret fan. As am I.
Yeah. So, and that stuff really, again, it's sort of that same thing where, like, the audience, and there's a relationship between the audience and the performer in cabaret that's really dynamic. It can be dynamic. As we were thinking about cabaret, we wanted to find performers that sort of create story through their cabaret. It's not necessarily just a series of songs, but there's a, mm-hmm. there's a trajectory mm-hmm. that the artist is taking us on.
But this singer has a larynx-defying range.
The New York Times.
Says the New York Times.
It must be true.
Yeah, we have a clip of a video he did that's on our website. It's really, he just has a really interesting aesthetic and sense of humor. You get who this guy is.
So speaking of that website, it's AnkrumOperaHouse.org.
You got
it. And you can get tickets for all these events, right?
Yeah, you can click on a button and
so there's
tickets.
You can.
And Ankrum is such a pretty little village. And the trip down to Ankrum I've always loved.
Yep.
It's wonderful.
It's 20 that minutes. We've timed it. It's 18 minutes from the top of Warren. So we've timed it, radio listeners from the Hudson area.
You go south to 23 and just go straight off.
You go out to 82.
82, I mean.
Yeah, past the Taconic and keep going.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, and you're right in the center of in that sort of strange intersection.
Yeah, that's what I was
strange intersection of 82 and 7.
You're on 7.
We're on 7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I.
So this is their first season, Ellen.
I know.
It's a big deal.
I know it is.
I mean, if you dream about these things, you know, and you finally get to do it.
Well, I've always loved those little country theaters when there used to be summer stock companies here and there.
Well, that was sort of what's interesting also is like, I mean, a little bit more about the building, which was that, you know, I mentioned it was the Grange Hall, but in the 70s, two, quote, air quote, cousins took it over. And sort of, you know, we're sort of in some ways recreating a little bit of what they did, which is that they bought the space to transform it from the Grange to the Opera House. And for about 5 or 6 years during the 70s, they were doing light opera to huge acclaim and success. And it was like there's a, we,
really?
Paul was just reading a New York Times article about it the other day to me. Yeah. There was a New Yorker.
I actually forgot to tell you, I met a guy on the street the other day, and he, oh, what was his name? He went to quote unquote wild parties. And he wasn't talking about like cake and ice cream. He was talking about wild parties at the Ankrum Opera.
Was this during the Pride parade?
Yes.
Because I saw your people walking around with these
our
little
interns,
flyers
everywhere. I just want to say that the boards that they were wearing, their outfits, I made those.
Oh, they looked homemade.
Yep. Hey. I thought they looked
for the good, for the, you know.
Yes, I made those. Yeah. Anyway, so there were there were wild parties at the Ankrum Opera House. So.
Not wild party, not Joseph Marches.
Yeah. No, not that wild. I mean, maybe. Inspiration for that. I don't know, but yeah.
I'd love to hear a little Carol Lipnick.
So
okay,
we will just say it's a moody piece that we really love.
Jake, maestro.
Okay, let's hear the moody piece.
I want to hear.
Is it going to make me cry?
I don't know.
Maybe a little. I mean, just, you know, it's her. She has a beautiful voice.
Something wrong. There's something.
Well, that was pretty impressive.
Is she playing the piano? She's not.
No, she is a pianist. But and I wanted to talk, like, I wanted to sort of narrate while she was playing, but it's so annoying when people do that on the radio. But, you know, it's her song, this music is so perfect for our space. Mm-hmm. And whenever I hear her music, I think of, like, you know, the chandelier lights sort of dimly lit and she's on stage and there's a breeze coming through the windows. I mean, it's really perfect for our space.
And she's actually, people may know her up here a little bit. She's done Spiegel Tent a couple of years ago. She was part of the Weimar performances, and she does Weimar in New York, and she performs at Pangea often. And she has a residency at Pangea and Joe's Pub. She's performed at a number of times. So we feel lucky to get her to come. Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear the lyrics, but I think it's the headphones.
Blame the headphones.
Yeah. Not my hearing.
Well, you know, that's why we had to raise money. We always need to keep up our equipment here.
That's true. On a monthly basis.
On a monthly basis. Sustaining membership is welcome. Once again.
You wove that in so gracefully.
I know. Right? That's us. All grace.
It's called a segue.
The segue, right. Right.
Excuse me.
Well, what else? Is there anything else we've left out that we should know? Like, you're not going to put the elephants in sheep's clothing or anything like that.
No elephants in sheep's clothing. I think, you know, it's you know, this is our first season out, and so we're sort of using this year to kind of figure out what works, what we're going to do more of. And I think the thing that's important for us to remember is, you know, the thing that all of these pieces have in common is that they're, you know, they're perfect for the space. I mean, we have a really intimate space, 80, maybe 90 seats. So there's only a certain kind of theater, music, cabaret that you can do in a space that intimate. And that's kind of the thing that makes all of these pieces similar. You know, the real stories, real people, that's something that's going to be perfect for an intimate space. It's about the spoken word. It's about people listening. And I think that's the thing that's driven us to pick all of these pieces.
Even the first show with the sheep, even because it's wordless, actually.
Yeah.
So it's really about the sounds of the natural environment sounds and the sounds of the sheep eating and, you know, doing their sheep things.
Are you going to do any?
Oh, the bell, like they have bells around their neck and the bell, the sheep bell, cowbell kind of thing. Hearing that, it has a great sort of, really, you have to tune in to the oral thing of it. Yeah.
Is it just going to be summer programming for the future? Or?
Well, I mean, honestly, we would love to be doing, you know, in classes will be continuing throughout the year. Yeah. And we want to be here for, you know, do a summer, a full, you know, the tough time would be winter.
Sure.
Just because our parking lot is this field. And so it's like.
Getting stuck in the snow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we want to, I mean, we're doing, it's June to September now, really, just because we just bought the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we bought the place in September. We got our nonprofit tax status in January. So this is basically all we can do because it's what we could raise money for this year. But,
right.
You know, as we continue to, you know, move forward, we want to be here. We would love to do stuff in March and April and September and October. We just have to kind of get there first.
And I'm glad to see that, because you're theater guys, that you're actually going to be producing.
Yes, I got my theatrical debut with in Hudson with Ellen Thurston playing.
That's right.
Henry Did Hudson's really? Lackey.
That's right.
Who played?
He followed Henry Hudson.
Who played Henry?
David Anderson
from Walking the Dog. Yeah. No, I was Henry's like a skipper or something.
And he played it very well.
I did.
Well, there you have it.
And he was very helpful in the costume department,
too. I hooked us up with a ruff. Yeah, you were very focused on that ruff, Ellen.
Oh, the ruff. Yeah. I love the ruff.
She loves the ruff, yes. That's right. Remember the artist who exhibited locally not too long ago who had paintings with all the people wearing ruffs and animals?
I took her some of our ruffs. We had paper ruffs we made out of adding machine tape.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yes, right. They were great. Anyway.
Well, the season opens this Saturday at 2 o'clock, 2 p.m., and then the show will be again at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. The Sheep, a performance geared for everyone, all ages, family, anybody. And there'll be a little party between the two shows, between the 2 and the 5 o'clock, with the Cowboy, what are they called?
Cowboy Jim and the Hay Rollers. Yeah, they're great.
And this is at the newly opened Ankrum Opera House. Is there an address for that?
There is, 1330 County Route 7.
There you go, 1330 County Route 7. Mm-hmm. And you can find out all the information you need and buy tickets on the web at ankrumoperahouse.org. And we want to thank Jeff Musso and Paul Ricciardi for coming in and telling us all about their upcoming season.
Well, thanks very much for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Love it.
And do come back.
Oh, we will. Yeah. We totally will.
Okay.